All right, welcome back to the latest and the greatest of the Blue Brothers Sportscast. Real talk, real fans, we bring you Michigan football each and every week. It is officially week two, and we're getting ready for the Cincinnati game, but we have some stuff that we have to get to before we do that. I mentioned at the end of last episode, my name is Caleb. With me, as always, is Craig. We have voicemails.
And all right, let's get to it.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to miss out on voicemails because that's some of our favorite content. And what I will try to say, we're still trying to figure out our schedule for recording during the season because it always fluctuates and things like that. And since we do two episodes, we're trying to figure out the most efficient way to do everything. So right now, if you want to get your reactions to games on the recap episodes immediately following the games that we do, the best way is to call either the day of the game after the game has happened or on Sundays. That will probably guarantee that your voicemail will get to us in time for recording because it looks like we might be doing recording Sunday night. But for the preview of the games, we're not sure exactly when that's going to be happening. So the earlier the better. Otherwise, we'll include it in the next episode, but we will always include it when we record. Just kind of an FYI, and we'll try to keep you guys updated if we get things set in stone. It always fluctuates because we do this when we can, but we do guarantee every week that you will get at least one episode, and we always try to do two during the regular season. But, Craig, are you ready for the voicemails?
I'm ready, man. Hit it.
Okay. All right. So hey. This first one is actually a preview before the Florida game. And then okay. I think, then everything else is after it. So here's this one. This is going back a little way. So this is right before the Florida one, before the Florida game happened. So let's get in here and we'll go ahead and play this one.
Hey, guys, it's Jeff Kirby, also known as Curbmeister on Twitter. At MGO Kirby. I just listened to your predictions for tomorrow's game, and the first one, 44-6 or something like that, I'm not really seeing that. I think Michigan's going to score probably high 20s, low 30s, and Florida's going to be like high teens, low 20s probably. So I'll go like 34-21, Michigan. Love the show. Love the in-depth research. Lots of information. Lots of comparisons. Faithful listener here. Can't wait for tomorrow. And can't wait for the follow-up show after the game. And I'll be counting sharks on TV for you guys. All right. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Go Blue.
All right. Kirby.
Nice. I like Kirby, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is great. He definitely has been a longtime listener with us, and he's one of the guys who's very active on Twitter who gets involved in conversations. So, Kirby, thanks for that.
Yep.
We'll touch base quickly on this because this is a little, from a little while ago. First of all, what I want to say after we say thank you for the voicemail is I wasn't that far off with my prediction.
Well, you know what the thing is he was actually we both were going to be way off if, you know, we didn't have the two turnovers. They would have literally probably only scored 3 points, but
I predicted six. That's not too bad. That's not too shabby.
No. And you know what? I said what? Somewhere around 14, but I was 28-14, so I was close. But yeah, I mean, anytime she can get over 30, I'm for it. But yeah,
he was pretty close, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he was. And you know, the thing is you know, you take it just based on two of those were unthinkable, you know, turnovers on, you know, on pick sixes. Who would have thought that? No one. I would never have predicted that, but given the fact that's the score and what we have, and yeah, pretty close. I mean, he was pretty close, man. He had us above 30. I didn't.
Yeah, that was pretty spot on for him. Really, I when he was when I first was listening to it and he was giving that little score range and everything, I was just like, oh man, he's right there. What's he finally going to say? And I was, and he did wind up going into the 20s instead of sticking in the scenes. He was right there. That was pretty awesome. So
yeah.
Moving right along, then we are going to get into voicemails then following the Florida game. So here's our first one coming up with that.
Good afternoon, fellas. Who I am is of no importance. Where I am is of no importance. But what I saw on Saturday is of great importance. First of all, I want to thank Florida for showing up. Everybody can't win the award, but somebody has to get nominated, right? Excuse me. Secondly, I want to thank all the guys from Florida that played for Michigan. They brought some of that speed up there, and they actually showed it to the Gators because a few of those guys weren't recruited by the Gators. Some of those three stars that Coach Harbaugh and staff happened to just get and make look really all-world phenomenal. Thirdly, I want to thank the Florida Gators players that gave Michigan the extra motivation to come out there and pressure watch them all over that field. Although some of them didn't play because of suspension, I mean, it was cool. And they had some really cool uniforms, too. Did y'all notice that, Florida? The helmets are dope. Yeah, man. And finally, man, fourthly, before I get into the rest of it, I want to thank Coach McElwain for, well, hiring Nussmeier, because Nussmeier is trash as an offensive coordinator. I don't know how he is as a man, but as a coordinator, he sucks. He looked good in the Brady Hoke, because Brady Hoke was a trash coach. But, yeah, as far as the game, clearly a speed mismatch, just like Alabama and Florida State, clearly a speed mismatch. I mean, there were some plays where Michigan beat the ball to the backfield for Florida. Like, by the time Franks got it, it was too late. And, I mean, I just don't know what to say. I loved watching that game. I didn't love State's play. He had to get better. He has to get better. But everything else was great, and Michigan is the best defensive team that I saw. Well, they have the best defensive line in the country. Alabama has the best defense. And eventually, they're going to have to play. Eventually, they're going to have to. But Florida, I mean, man, when the coach didn't even open the full playbook for those guys, it shows you the lack of respect he has for them. And that's just life. So on to the next opponent, which is Cincinnati. But, yeah, Florida, with all those 4- and 5-star guys in state, and they get whipped like that, and the only points they really got were from Michigan, and gift-wrapping them points because of one, a wide receiver's error, and another, spate error. That says a lot about how far that program has fallen since 2009, really. And that's crazy. Even then, they were said to have the best recruiting class ever, but a lot of those guys were entitled. That's why they didn't make it. But, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. But it was good. I mean, the coin toss was cool. That's about it. Everything else, Michigan had the advantage here. But love the show. Can't wait to hear it this week.
And that is the end of that one. And that is another regular listener, regular caller for the show and giving a lot of feedback on the Florida game.
Yep. Great feedback.
Yeah,
he's right on that game. I mean, and you know the thing is he's right. You got some of these players who weren't even either recruited by Florida or Florida didn't happen. You know, and Devin Bush is one of them. So thank God for that.
Yeah, and I guess we didn't really talk about it, but the Florida uniforms, both uniforms on the playing field looked pretty good, and I know we didn't really talk about that last time.
But he's right because you know you had two great defensive teams, and you know Michigan just looked faster, stronger. and speed, you know, you're talking about the SEC speed. I saw it in Michigan. I didn't see it in the SEC, and I didn't see it in Florida. I mean, Florida's got a good defense, but they didn't have the speed at the linebacking position and defensive line like Michigan does. And so, and we showed it and dominated them. And like you said, talking about speed's got to get a little bit better, and accuracy's got to get down and better. And, you know, he's touched on it pretty well. So,
yes, he did. And with the suspensions that he mentioned, that we all mentioned, there are still questions with Michigan still, because Florida was a little banged up. Florida was a little absent with a few players. So there still are questions. We'll still have to see things moving forward. I don't think we're going to get a lot of answers here this weekend with Cincinnati, because you're going from, I wouldn't say one spectrum to another, but Florida quite a bit different than Cincinnati. But we'll get into that conversation more when we get into breaking down the game and everything. So we will move along to the next voicemail, and there is one final one after that. So here's the next one. Oh, and forgot to say thank you, Stephen, for that voicemail, and moving along to the next one.
Hey, this is Curb Meister, a.k.a. at MGo Kirby on Twitter. Here's my thoughts on this upcoming game against Cincinnati, which, by the way, was 4-8 last year, which is really close to being 3-9, like another team I know. But anyways, first of all, I want to address the Cincinnati running back spouting off on Twitter about shocking the world against Michigan. And there's an article that I just saw from BearcatSportsRadio.com that says that Michigan got by Florida and that Michigan's going to give up 34 points in a loss to Cincinnati. I know Austin Peay is I know them as a basketball school, but apparently they have a football team, which Cincinnati beat last Saturday and gave up 224 rushing yards to, which they can give up 224. They only, Cincinnati got 97 yards. So I don't know about getting by Florida as far as Michigan goes, but Cincinnati, it kind of looks like Cincinnati got by Austin Peay. So getting a lot of confidence and spouting off like that raises some eyebrows for me. I think Cincinnati is going to try and play a spread offense and hurry things up and play a hurry up offense. It's like what they did against Austin Peay, the video that I just watched. Doing that against Michigan and Don Brown, who's going to counter just like he did against Florida and bring a 3-3-5 and a 5-3-3 and a 4-2-5. He's going to drive the offensive coordinator at Cincinnati crazy, just like he did against Florida. And I don't know how the quarterback's going to check down from seeing a different defense every time he comes to the line. It's going to be very interesting, I think. I think Michigan is going to outwork their kinks, and I think Wilton Spate's going to settle down as far as passing, and I think the receivers are going to practice catching the ball better, not tipping the ball like they did on Saturday. I think the offense is going to practice in response to interceptions and how to react. From what I heard on Jim Harbaugh's podcast, he really felt like he dropped the ball on that, and they're going to focus on that. And I would be surprised if Michigan allowed a pick six in this game, to be honest with you. I will, on the other hand, I think that Michigan will have.
And actually, the next voicemail is the finishing to this one. I think we might have a cap at 3 minutes for voicemails. But anyways, he called back to finish his thoughts.
All right, so this is MGo Kirby again. Just to finish up what I had to say before I got cut off at the two-minute mark. I think Michigan will have at least one pick six in this game. And I think Michigan will score 48 points, and be surprised if Cincinnati scores more than six. I think they're gonna take this this fodder that the running back has tweeted out and the article on the website. I think they're gonna use that against them, and just like they did against Florida, and Cincinnati will regret it as much as Florida did. Yeah, that's my thoughts on that, and love the show, guys. Keep it up, and go Blue.
All right, thanks again, Curbmeister.
Yeah, good stuff in there.
Yeah, love getting people's thoughts, other people's insights, thoughts, reactions, predictions. Really love it, and pointed out some stuff, and is gonna was bringing up some stuff that we'll get into more in depth when we go into breaking down the Cincinnati game. But yeah, some interesting things happening in the media and in what some of the players said from Cincinnati. Definitely pointed out the effectiveness of Don Brown and his defense. So it's surprising to see some of the things that have been coming out. I don't want to get too in-depth in it yet because I think that we're really going to have some interesting thoughts on that. But, Craig, reaction to the voicemail before we move along?
Boy, and, you know, there's so much to his voicemail to digest because a lot has come out in the past couple days on, you know, talking about, I think, the Cincinnati Bearcats radio guy had the article talking about Michigan getting by, and we'll talk about that. It's like, what avenue you want to go down, but I'll talk about the running back talk, you know, and I'll kind of make it really quick about him talking about it. I didn't really mind what he had to say. He just said that, you know, we can shock the world. I don't see it as disrespect to Michigan. I mean, I expect that's what you want to hear from your players is, hey, you know what, let's get up for this game. You know, it's not like he said, we're going to, you know, beat the heck out of Michigan. That's a little in the disrespect realm. But when a guy says we're going to shock the world, I think that's a pretty good, I didn't mind that at all. I thought it was fine. You know, to hear players say that on other teams, I'm cool with that. So I don't know, what were your thoughts on that?
I didn't think it was too bad either. I feel like it could be phrased better. Yeah. I didn't hear him say it, so I don't know, and I'm not sure if there was a recording of it or if it was just shared, written, and texted and tweeted and whatnot. But my mindset more goes to, and this is the mindset of a lot of teams, but you've also heard it at Michigan, where we're going to prove our worth on the football field. And so it's more of the humble approach.
Yeah.
Like, if he had gone in and said, because that's the thing. Everybody has to believe that they can win the game for there to be any chance. And the precursors to all of this, too, and I'll go ahead and mention it now so I don't have to mention it later, is Michigan cannot overlook this game. Michigan cannot overlook any game. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. It doesn't matter if they're an FBS team or an FCS team. They can never overlook a game. So I'll say that here and now, and I don't think they do, and I don't think they will, especially with the coaching staff that they currently have. But I feel like these teams that are, you know, the Cincinnati's out there and things like that that Michigan's going to be facing, my thought would just be to say, we don't count ourselves out of any fight. We're going to put the best play that we have on the field, and we're going to compete and go toe-to-toe with them. Boom. Leave it at that. You don't have to say we're going to shock the world or anything that far. And like we both have said, that's not that extreme. But still, it's like you said, and like Kurtmeister said, it's bulletin board material now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you use it, and you come out, and you fire up your guys, and you're ready to go. So,
yeah. So I just feel like it's better, but still room for improvement. So,
and to piggyback off that, let's go into talking about that talking about that radio guy who had the article talking about Michigan got by Florida.
Yeah, this okay. I've got it right in front of me.
Juicy, dude. This one's really juicy. So let's, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go through and I'll try to skim this as quickly as possible to share some of the highlights, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I have not heard this guy on the radio. I've not heard if there are recordings of him. This is the only thing I've seen that this guy has put out there. And if you haven't seen it, it's from BearcatsSportsRadio.com. The guy's name is Gabe Query, I think is how you might pronounce his last name. But yes, he said that, well, the title of it is Against the Michigan Wolverines, Bearcats Look to Regain National Prominence, which, okay, take that for what it's worth. But then, like you said, he labels it that Michigan got by Florida.
Yeah, highlighted that.
Yes, and it was highlighted in the article, and he repeated himself.
Quite a bit.
Yes.
Repeated that, right.
And then, but he goes on to say that the Bearcats got by Austin Peay.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy to think because then by him saying that Michigan got by Florida, Bearcats got by Austin Peay, and that he is predicting that the Bearcats will beat Michigan, which we'll get to that later, he is essentially saying that Florida and Austin Peay are on the same playing field.
That's what I read out of that. Right. Yep.
Like when you boil it all down, that's essentially what he is communicating through this article.
Yeah. And the fact, if you read it, it literally puzzled me because I went in two different directions on what he was saying. He's almost contradicting himself. He literally.
He did
so many times, like to a point to where he went from slamming Michigan on, we shouldn't have won that because of the two picks by Wilton Spate and Florida was doing a good job, to Florida couldn't do anything on us. We were totally dominating defensively and we had them like dead to rights. And I just went, wait, you just said that we just got by. So I was like literally going, one minute you're just slamming, the next minute you're actually acting like we killed them. And so I was a little bit puzzled by this article altogether. I don't know where he was going with it, but.
Well, he also mentions how effective Don Brown's defense is. Like, he's not denying that the defense isn't good. But then he essentially sums it up as there are two things that Cincinnati needs to do to win the game, which is their rushing defense, which, hang on.
Okay.
The rushing defense is going to be so strong against Michigan, this rushing defense that allowed Austin Peay,
yep,
a team that has not won a game, good, not had a winning season, I'm saying won a single game.
Say the stats. Kerbmeister brought it up.
Yes, and I will get to the stats, but this team has not won a football game since 2014.
That's 28.
Yes, and that is before Jim Harbaugh even started coaching at Michigan. This team has not won a football game. And
so break down what Caleb's saying, 28 games in a row, Austin Peay has not won a game. That's the longest in Division I.
Yes. And they put up 224 – Austin Peay put up 224 rushing yards on Cincinnati. And this guy writing the article is saying that all – one of the two things that Cincinnati has to do is their rush defense. And it's already showing – that is one, if not their worst qualities for their team, because when you look at their stats, they allow 224 rushing yards, but then they only allow 89 passing yards. So right. You're saying that your rushing defense has to be excellent, but your rushing defense really got blown out of the water compared to your passing defense.
Yeah, they ran at 60 attempts, 224 yards. Yep.
Yeah. So then the other key point that he laid out there was converting on third downs.
Yeah.
So he's saying that the two things that Cincinnati needs to do is be good at their rush defense to be able to stop Michigan and all our running backs. And if they can control the rushing game, then if they can do a good job converting their third downs, this game is absolutely within their reach. I don't know if he's essentially phrasing it where it's a guaranteed win if they do that, but he's saying that those are the two most important things. and their third down efficiency against Austin Peay.
Say it.
Three for 11.
There you go.
3 for 11 versus Austin Peay.
27%.
Yes. So you want to tell me then that they are somehow going to improve those numbers against one of the best defenses. And he said that, one of the best defenses. They're somehow going to improve their third down efficiency and do better than Florida, which he is saying is a worse team, which he's saying is a worse team than Cincinnati is, from how he's phrasing it, who went, Florida went 2-13 for third down efficiency against Michigan. But somehow Cincinnati on the road, that was a home game for them, by the way, against Austin Peay. On the road, somehow their rush defense and their third down efficiency is going to get better, and they are going to be in this game and able to potentially shock the world on the road at Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, and Austin Peay had, what, time of possession 37% over Cincinnati's 22 time. So that just tells you what they did there. So, yeah. I mean, great points.
Yeah. So I honestly, when I first saw this, which was a couple of days ago, I read it. And when I got to the part where it says Michigan got by Florida and I finished that paragraph, I just stopped. I was just like, there's no reason for me to finish reading this.
No.
And then, and then of course we got closer to this and we were going to talk about it more and other people were talking about it more. So I went back to it and I finished reading it. And I honestly was laughing while reading this article. Now, again, I will say I have no problem, and everybody needs to do it, where every single week they need to believe that they have the opportunity to compete to potentially win the game. They have to do that. They have to believe that. And I have no problem with that, because you want that mentality going into the game. Because if you don't have that, then pretty much can guarantee you're going to lose that game.
Yeah, so, this game, it really was. This game was a close game. It wasn't, you know, Cincinnati wasn't blowing away Austin Peay. And the very fact is, that, you know, at the fourth quarter is when Bearcats started throwing the ball more. And basically they had a hard time coming back. They just ran the ball most of the time. But, yeah, it was a close game. It really was. So.
But wait. One of my favorite parts. Okay. Don't let me lose this. I just was skimming through and I found this again. So he went ahead and pointed out that Florida only trailed Michigan by 9 with under 2 minutes to play in the fourth quarter before the defensive touchdown.
Right.
So a minute 37 left in the fourth. With under 2 to play. 9 points. What he doesn't mention that I didn't see, unless I missed over it, was 6 minutes left in the game. Austin Peay trailed Cincinnati by 6 points.
6 points, yep.
With 6 minutes in the game.
Yeah.
And so this Cincinnati team that only put up 26 points is somehow going to put up more points than Michigan.
Yeah.
But then he goes on, and we will go ahead and go to the end of the article and go to his prediction, where he says that the Bearcats will win 34-31. So they will score more points than they did against Austin Peay on the road at the Big House against a better defense.
Yeah. It just makes me laugh too. Actually, I get a big chuckle on it every time I read. I just laugh. The almost to a point where I think this guy's kidding, right? This is a joke. Then he's not. He's not joking. This is an actual article. Look it up.
You're looking for this to be coming from like The Onion or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm thinking The Onion put this out. This got to be.
So I think this is an appropriate place to say it. Where this brings back fond memories. And Craig, I think you might know where I'm going with this. I can't remember if I mentioned. No, I think I was talking to Brandon about it today. Our good friend Brandon. We always talk. But I mentioned that there was a similar instance with this, where there were, it was more of a fierce article, and they were directly calling out. No, they weren't really directly calling out Jim Harbaugh, but basically they were saying they were going to take vengeance on Michigan this year. And it was the Northwestern article.
No, oh, yeah.
Not from the school. It was another sports. Actually, I think it was a private blog. But this guy's from actually Bearcat Sports Radio, mm-hmm. from what I can tell. So there was the blog article, first year under Jim Harbaugh, 2015. People should easily remember this, maybe not the article, but at least the game. He called Michigan out saying that the team has just been behind Michigan and they've just been needing a little something extra. And Jim Harbaugh is coming in and he's going to get a beating because they're ready for it and they're ready to put Michigan in their place and blah, 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 blah. Stuff like that. So, how does the game go?
Totally disrespect. I mean, well, yeah, and just totally going at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
And so how did that game go, Craig? Can you refresh everyone's memory on how that game started and how that game finished?
Yeah, pretty big goose egg by Northwestern.
Yes, and that was the game that started with the kickoff return for a touchdown. The game was over.
From the beginning.
I think it was 8 seconds in that there was the touchdown, and Northwestern didn't put a single point up on the board.
Yep.
So this instance... that article back then, I don't think, was getting quite as much attention as this one was, but this has the same kind of feeling to me.
Yeah, you got two. Actually, Austin Peay, he is right. It's a basketball school just north of, and they're a little bit north of Nashville, right on the border, really, of Tennessee. But and you got Cincinnati's also kind of a basketball school, so you got two basketball schools going at it, slugging. And then Cincinnati's going to come in and just whoop up on Michigan. I'm like, man, this is where I said, this is where Michigan's mentality, because they're young, and when you get success, what happens when you get success on the team, you don't want it to go to their heads, and I think they're going to keep them grounded. And I think they're just going to – I just think this guy's out of his mind if he thinks this is going to happen. I mean, he's not even being realistic. At least be a little bit realistic. He's not even in the ballpark. That's what makes me laugh about it.
Yeah, he's over the top.
Yeah, it is. It's like that guy from Northwestern, his over the top. Hey, and you know what the thing is? I can actually understand his a little bit more, the guy from Northwestern, because Northwestern was a good team. They had the number one defense in the country going against Michigan. So I can understand that a little bit more, but this was ridiculous.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Northwestern guy had more ground to stand on than this Cincinnati article does. So basically, to sum that up,
nice.
And now to talk about more fantastic stats and information going into this game for Cincinnati versus Michigan, which, by the way, is a noon kickoff. And where are we at? Noon kickoff. It's at Michigan Stadium. Point spread. Michigan is favored by 34.5 points. If this guy is really thinking this, he has got to be putting money on Cincinnati to at least cover the spread. He has to. Because if you can go on and write an article like that and believe it, which I would have to believe or imagine if he's writing all that he has to believe what he's saying, you got to put money on it. You would bank on that. So, especially if he's saying they're going to outright win, that would be a big money load. Anyways, Michigan favored by 34.5, total of 50 points scored by both teams. But going into some of the stats, some other stats here, which it just makes me shake my head the more and more that we're going to be talking about this, because Cincinnati allowed 20 first downs by Austin Peay. There were 5 attempts on fourth downs, and they allowed 3 of them, so better than 50%. They allowed them to have 313 total yards. Like we mentioned, 224 was on the ground. And even with two turnovers by Austin Paye, they only won by 12 points.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting thing to point out. This I knew this is where I was going. It was just in the back of my mind. Kurt Meister mentioned that he didn't think that they were going to score more than 6 points. Very true, very possible, and that is probably going to happen, or if it happens that way, is probably going to be by touchdown, because Cincinnati missed field goals.
Yeah.
And they missed extra points.
Yep.
Oh, no, extra point. One single. Well, I'm sorry, just one time.
Running game, I think Bearcats running games at three, they're like a little over 3 yards a carry. And if you can't, you better do better than that. I can't believe you get 3 yards a carry against Austin Paye. How do you do that? How is that possible to a team who's lost 28 games in a row and the most in Division One, and you run 3 yards per carry, and you expect it to do that against the number one defense? If you can't do that, then you're going to be able to pass it. And what were the passing? They had to pass it, right? And so, but they're, who's it, Boone? Is there a quarterback, I believe? Or, yeah, I think that's his name. He had a slow game.
Oh, Boone was the running back.
Oh, running back. He had 60%, which is pretty good. But, you know, he struggled in the first half of that game. He was overthrowing players and things like that. So that's why he struggled. And if you don't think Michigan's going to tee off on that guy, you're crazy.
Yeah, and not to mention that it's not just a rushing game that Michigan has. Even though there was the struggles with the passing game, Spate had two passes of 55 yards.
Right.
So there's the deep ball that you have to worry about too.
Right.
So you've got bigger, stronger, faster running backs. So you're going to probably put more guys in the box or more guys closer to line. So you're going to open up the backfield. And it's going to be a constant move back and forth. So there are going to be openings that Michigan can capitalize on.
Yeah.
You pointed out, and I'll let you say it, but the head coach, Luke Fickell, is familiar to Michigan fans because he was a coach at Ohio State, but he was also the head coach for the year in between Tressel and Meyer. And you had an interesting thing to say about that.
Yeah, he was the interim coach, I believe, in 2011. Yep. He was the interim. He brought in. And what makes me laugh is because Fickell was coaching that game that we had Denard Robinson, and actually that's the last game we beat Ohio State in. So I'm going, look, Fickell, if you can't beat us with Ohio State's roster, what the heck do you think you can beat us with Cincinnati's? So, go on. You're kidding, right?
Exactly. Well, and I thought that was hilarious. But to his credit, from what I have seen, and I will admit I have not been watching everything coming out of Cincinnati sports media and everything, but I have not seen Luke Fickell say much. Like any kind of trash talking. Have you seen anything or?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, that's great.
Yeah. So, coaches can say certain things and there are certain times appropriate and everything. And, you know, when you're the underdog, there are times for it and times not for it. But compared to how we saw things kind of develop last year with pre-Rutgers, you know, Ash was saying some things too. So I just think that it's a wiser choice by Fickell to just put his head down, do work, and get your players on the field and compete on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll give him that. And the interesting thing that I want to point out, because I think I may have said it before back in 2011, but if I didn't, actually a couple things I'll mention here. Is that I think Luke Fickell looks like Adam Sandler.
He does. He certainly does, man. Like, he needs some, like, Adam Sandler music or some kind of, like, sound bite.
Oh. Oh, well, I don't really have a sound bite directly from him, but I do have something from... Oh, yes, this is so applicable. So it's not Adam Sandler himself, but to kind of sum up some of the thoughts that we have heard from other individuals in the sports realm and everything on their thoughts on Cincinnati's performance against Michigan this weekend. I will go ahead and play this lovely little segment right here.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That is the article, man.
I forgot I had that.
It's so true, man. You read that article, and that's, I swear, I lost some brain cells on that. Just, hey, man, that's haters hate, and that, or just people, hey, God love them, man. So.
Oh, yeah, you're always going to get a little bit of that. So, but.
People get paid more than us, so.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, definitely give it that. But.
Yeah.
Other thoughts on this game? I know that we focused a lot on the Cincinnati stats and everything. I mean, everybody's pretty familiar with Florida, Michigan, because they've played one game against Florida. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts going into this game from Michigan's side of it then?
Well, I think we're going to – I think our offense is going to improve. And to me, it's just going to be, you know, our running backs are – primed and ready. We got the three-headed monster and Higdon and Isaac and Evans going, and it's going to be really tough for them tee off on who's going to run the ball, and we're going to be fresh legs all the time. So I think you're going to see improvement on the offensive line again. This defense is just – I think this defense is hungry. They're fast. They're strong. I think you're going to see even better with the secondary. The secondary, even the Florida game, got better as the game went along, which was great because in the beginning they were a little bit, you know, first game jitters, and you don't – you're not, you know, I saw some of the secondary guys missed some assignments and things like that, but I expect good things in this game. But I think everybody is waiting to see how Wilton does in this game and to see if he plays better, and I think he will.
Yeah, I do agree. I think he will too. I mean, I know, like we've been already discussing, that it's a different opponent than Florida. Florida still has a good defense. It might not be as good as it was last year. I mean, players lost to graduation and the draft, as well as players lost to suspension. But it was still a good defense. It was definitely better than their offense, let's put it that way. So there will be improvement, I honestly think, across the board. I think we're going to have multiple running backs look great on the weekend. I think that our wide receivers are going to be more involved. This will be an opportunity to give them more in-game reps and production on the field, get them a little bit more comfortable in there, because there wasn't as much action through the air against Florida. I think you'll see more of that this week here than against Cincinnati. Some just slipped my mind, but yeah, it's going to be exciting for some of these guys. I mean, we'll go back and talk about the young players on this team and people kind of dogging Michigan on it. Some people, I can't name anybody off the top of my head, but some of the media is getting behind Michigan now and saying how youth is not an issue for their team. And we were talking on social media, and somebody was being sarcastic. It actually may have been Steven. I can't remember. Somebody was being sarcastic on Twitter and just being like, well, but they're a young team. How could they be this good? And I just responded with, you're never too young to kick ass. So yeah. It's sure. The team's looking good. It's one game. I'm not going to try to jump the gun, because there's only so much you can learn from one game, as well as only learn from one game where 10 players are suspended. So this is probably going to be one of those games where there'll be that sizable lead eventually, maybe before halftime or at least in the second half, where you can get a rotation of the other players in, get backup quarterback in there, you know, some game time so that they can get used to being on the field, maybe throw more than one pass and just a bunch of players in there and give people playing experience, because this is when you want to do it, because there definitely will be tests this year and I would like to see more involvement with players getting in there. But you do have to remember where we are discussing about this being a potential, well, I guess we haven't discussed a whole lot yet, but there is the potential for a shutout. And we know how the coaching staff is, where they want to reward the defense for the hard work that they put in, and they want
that shutout.
Yeah, if the potential is there, they want to give the defense that reward.
When have we ever seen that? I mean, in a long, long time from Michigan, you actually know that the coaching staff wants a shutout. I mean, they're literally encouraging it.
A long time.
I know. It's crazy, and I'm with you. I'm exactly right. I think that, you know, you got Dr. Blitz Brown, man. He's going to bring it all. I think he's just, like Kurtmeister said, he's just going to bring so many blitz packages. It's going to make the defensive coordinator for Cincinnati freak out. And he's just going to go, I don't know where they're coming from. I think you're going to see some three-man sets, just because I think we're going to be so dominant that the offensive line for Cincinnati can't even handle our three. So you're going to see it open, and it's going to be something to see. But, I mean, God bless Cincinnati, dude. It's going to be tough. But you know what? Cincinnati, the best thing that they can do, and I'll say it'll be similar to the Colorado game. Remember the Colorado game where I think Cincinnati's got to come out really, really strong. That's when they're fresh. I think that's when they're at their best. They're going to be – if they can't move this ball at all in the first or second quarter, they're done for. There's no way. I don't think they can keep up with Michigan's talent. So they're going to have to score early.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. With these teams that don't have the same – level of athletes, same speed, athleticism, strength, it's very important for them to establish themselves early in the game. Because as soon as they slip, as soon as there's one mistake, they have the potential of completely losing it. So if they lose it too early, there's almost no climbing back.
You're right. Yep.
So, yeah, very well put. There's a lot more that can be said, but I know that we need to get into the score predictions. We've lock it or dump it, and then we definitely want to touch on just mentioning some of the other Big Ten games. There's a lot going on with this, with the voicemails at the beginning, so I'm trying to make sure that we keep track and keep time for everything. So what we can go ahead and move into – yeah, let's go ahead and move into lock it or dump it, the lock it or dump it segment. As I lost my sound bits. But moving into locker or dump it. First one up. And I need to bring up the stats from last game against Florida. Michigan versus Florida. The team put up six sacks. Six sacks. Michigan defense had six sacks against Florida. So, first question is, or not question, but lock or dump, Michigan will have more than 9 sacks in the game.
Wow.
I had to put it high because it's got to be there where it's tough.
More than 6, I say lock it.
But I'm saying more than 9.
Oh, more than 9. Yeah, I will say, boy.
It's tough.
You know what? I'm going to say no, dump it. The reason why is Cincinnati has an up-tempo offense. I don't know if a lot of people know that. It's up-tempo, which makes it really, really difficult to sack the quarterback when he gets the ball, rid of the ball so quickly. So I'll say no.
All right. Go ahead and dumping that. I will go ahead and go with – oh, gosh, man. I watched that game. Watching film, getting ready to talk about Cincinnati versus Michigan, and it was it looked so slow. It really looked so slow, honestly, how fast the athletes were moving on the field. I feel like it's going to be 9, but I will go ahead and lock it.
Okay.
And say that it'll be 10 or more. I feel like that's how, like I said, I really honestly think it's probably going to get to 9, and so it'll be even, and both of us will be losers on that one. Anyways, okay, there will be multiple running backs with 100 yards.
Ooh, good one.
For Michigan, obviously.
Oh, man. I'll say you can lock it.
Lock it up.
Yep.
And I will go ahead and echo you on that one and agree that I believe that there will be more than one. First two that come to mind, Evans and Higdon, if Isaac doesn't have as productive as of a day that he did last time. Even if he doesn't have as productive of a day as he did against Florida, he could still break 100 yards because he broke 200 last week, which was crazy. So, but all right. So then last one coming up. This one, as we put the whispers out about the potential of a shutout, this one would be a big step for the defense. But the Michigan defense will not allow Cincinnati to have 100 rushing yards or 100 passing yards.
Okay, read that again.
The Michigan defense will not allow Cincinnati to have 100 rushing yards or 100 passing yards. So, essentially, keeping them under 200 total yards.
You can lock that.
Lock it up.
Yep. It's tough. You know, those are the really tough ones. You know why? Because the garbage touchdown, you know, the garbage stuff at the end.
Yeah.
And those are the ones where you go, man, that's what makes it really difficult. So.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me about that. So with the garbage time, I think I'm going to go ahead and dump it. So I think that something just at the end, something's going to break 100. I mean, maybe it'll be more than that. Maybe it'll be earlier on. But I'll go ahead and dump that one. So, okay. Then we can move into final thoughts and then final predictions for the game. We gotta get the music going, get pumped up, because it's almost Saturday, it's almost game day.
Here we go.
And we get to get final thoughts. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
All right. I was pretty high on Michigan last week. There were a lot of players suspended for Florida, but with not the same situation for Cincinnati, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. We saw how they struggled against Austin Peay. We talked about the potential of shutout. I'm still kind of back and forth a little bit with if they're going to put up points or not. But the amount of points that I think Michigan is going to score. Oh, man. I'm going to go ahead and do 55? Yeah, I'm doing 55. Oh, man. And do I say the shutout? I agree with Kerbmeister that it's either it's going to be like 6 points or it's going to be nothing.
Right.
I'm going to go. Oh, give me the Kool-Aid. I'll go ahead and give them 0 points. So, yeah, because Michigan defense just too strong. We saw how Cincinnati struggled. The team's going to be pumped. It's going to be home game. It looks like it's going to be a nice Saturday. They do the hurry-up offense. Honestly, I think that might be more of a detriment to them than a help because Devin Bush, man, the guy went nuts on Florida. So throw whatever you want to at him. He's still going to be fast. He's still going to get in that backfield. He's still going to cause chaos. Yeah, so I think Cincinnati's going to have a bunch of problems. I think that both the passing and the rushing game are going to be great for Michigan. 55-0. Craig, shoot.
Well, this is going to be a great game. Also, you have to remember is Cincinnati, in a way, what they said, they, even the conference, they said that they held off on showing Austin Peay all their weapons, and they're saving it for Michigan. So I can't wait to see this. Michigan, yeah, Michigan's too strong. So we got Cincinnati not showing all their plays. They got Michigan with their amazing defense. They're flying all over the field. I think our secondary is going to be better, and I think it's going to cause havoc for Cincinnati the whole entire game. We're going to be ready for this. 100,000 screaming fans. I think Wilton Spate's going to be much, much better in this game. I think you're going to see so much. I think he's just going to have a great game. I think we're going to run all over him. So I've got Michigan 45, and I've got Cincinnati 13.
45 to the 13.
I see a couple field goals for them. And
all right. Well, interesting. So you have, we both have the over on the game of over 50 points, but I have them covering the spread, and you, sir, do not. So interesting.
Yeah.
Great. Good thoughts. I, along with everyone else, am excited for this. So, and we will be there. And actually, at the end, before we sign off, we have something to say about game day. But quickly, before the ending of things and before we go into closing thoughts, I need to pull up the Big Ten football schedule for week two. And I imagine most people have heard the big game for the Big Ten this weekend is Ohio State facing off against Oklahoma at home.
Right.
And for some reason, I don't know why, but it's not giving me rankings. But both teams are ranked. That's a big one for the Big Ten. Always an interesting matchup. Iowa's playing Iowa State this weekend. That's a rivalry game. I always enjoy that one. Can be really good and really entertaining for that. Interesting one to watch is Northwestern playing Duke as well, which Northwestern is actually favored in that one.
Yeah.
I think it's by a favorable margin. Where'd you go?
Really? That's interesting.
Oh, no, never mind. It's not as much as I thought. It's only by 3 points.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I was ready to say, you're getting favorable. I'm like, Duke's got a pretty good team.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised when they were even favored, that Northwestern was even favored. But Ohio plays at Purdue. Northwestern game is at Duke. Townsend plays at Maryland, who looked really good last week against Texas. Iowa is at Iowa State for that game. Florida Atlantic is at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's ranked number 9. Here we go. I'm getting the rankings now. Interesting one, Western Michigan, who took USC kind of down to the wire, put up a really good fight on the road at USC. They are going this week and playing Michigan State in East Lansing, so that could be a good game. Pittsburgh, who gave Penn State issues last year, are going on the road to Penn State, ranked number 4. Mm-hmm. Might have to watch that. Eastern Michigan is playing at Rutgers. Indiana is playing at Virginia. Nebraska is at Oregon. And Western Kentucky is at Illinois. Minnesota is on the road at Oregon State. And Oregon State's actually favored in that one. Interesting. But here's the rankings. It's number 5, Oklahoma, at number 2, Ohio State. And I saw somebody share a graphic.
Yeah, what a game, man.
Yeah, that will be intense. That will be a big one. It's at 7:30 p.m. And I saw a graphic put out there that when Ohio State hosts a top 5 AP team.
Yeah.
No. Wait a minute. Hang on. I've got to look this up. I tweeted it out, and now I have to go back and look and make sure to see how it's set. Oh, wait, maybe it's a non-conference. Maybe that's what it was.
They lose?
Yeah, they lose. It's got to be non-conference because Michigan was ranked last year. Okay, hold on. Yeah, okay, it's non-conference. So, yeah, they are 0-5-1 at home when facing off against AP top five non-conference opponents. Okay, that makes sense.
Say anything about at night, though.
No.
Because that's interesting, because if you think about it, Ohio State has lost some games at night. Remember Virginia Tech, they lost to them. Remember Michigan State, they lost to them. Those are all night games.
Oh, yeah. So,
wondering if they are. They have I think Ohio State has a hard time beating teams, like you said, at night when it comes to that. So
in the dock.
In the dock, yeah.
All right. Wow, well, we are pushing long.
Crazy, man, I don't know what to say about that game, but I'll be watching.
Yes.
Oklahoma better bring it. That's all I'm saying. You want to be in the top five, you got to win the games like this.
Absolutely. Well, we are pushing long for time, so. Let's go ahead here, and we'll transition into some quick closing thoughts. Okay, well, I will go ahead and mention real quick that I just realized that the volume was a little bit louder because of the voicemails. And I never turned down the volume. So if there was loud volume earlier, it's all Craig's fault. But anyways.
Screaming, yeah.
Yeah, I apologize for that if the volume was loud. But moving along, closing thoughts. We will be at the game this weekend. There will actually be a tailgate for the Blue Network Group. So like the Blueprint Show. I think maybe people from the Blueprint blog will be there. We will be there from the Blue Brothers Sportscast. Other people will be there. I think there's going to be sound system there. It's going to be at the Pioneer High School. Where? We don't know yet.
It's a big area.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a big area, so we're going to see what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, and so it depends on when we get there and where we're able to get a spot and everything. We're going to try to be there early. So Rashawn is going to be there. We're going to be there. We'll probably put something out on Twitter, something like that, once we get set up and figured out. So if you're going to be at the game looking around, Craig and I will be doing something new for the sportscast on game days in Ann Arbor that should work.
Yeah.
We've got some new stuff we're excited about, and it's going to be fan interaction. So if you're there and you want to participate, got to find us. We'll probably not be too hard to spot. I'll probably be wearing, I haven't decided yet. Somebody got me a Harbaugh jersey that I haven't worn to a game yet that I kind of want to wear, but I also want to wear the Sportscast shirt, so I'm torn. But we should be easy to find. And find us, and we will have something cool that you guys might be able to participate with talking about Michigan football. And yeah. I think that's it. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, tailgate with us. We should be having some great things happening. So, can't wait.
Yep, something new every year, and we're taking strides forward. So it'll be good, and it'll be fun. We thank you guys for listening. We are pushing along on time. But there's always so much that can be said. So if you guys do want to give your reactions to the game, call the voicemail on Saturday or Sunday to get us your thoughts as quickly as possible so we can put them in the show. And we will be looking forward to Saturday, as I'm sure all of you are. Hope your Friday goes well, because game day is almost here. We'll finish things off with Go Blue.
Go Blue.